Welcome to your go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming.
Wait for it.
Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino?
Yeah,
they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Wait For It Podcast. I am your co-host Phil Smith, aka Phil the Filipino. And joining me is your other co-host, Mr. Eric Almighty. And Eric, back with another exciting episode of Late to the Party. And kind of keeping with the trend of doing like newer films, we are again looking at a movie that came out just last year. And it's interesting that this one came up because it kind of reminded me a little bit of the Gran Turismo trailer, like leading up to this movie. We kept seeing the Bullet Train trailer over and over and over and over again. And I'm going to be honest, I had no interest in watching it whatsoever. And then our friend Jordan, you know, had some really glowing things to say about it. And I kept seeing like clips and bloopers pop up on my Instagram algorithm. I don't know if that happened to you, but I was like, I kind of want to check this out because, you know, I like Brad Pitt. Love a lot of the actors and actresses that are in this movie. So I was like, you know what? Let's give it a shot. And, you know, we haven't really talked about it yet, but I feel like I'm pretty glad we got to watch this one.
Yeah, well, I think that Jordan may have hacked your algorithm because that's...
Possibly.
Yeah, that would explain why you immediately got ads and clips for it. But I'm right there with you about the trailers. We brought it up constantly, like, we're not going to go see Bullet Train. Stop showing us Bullet Train. But it was a good time. I've been wanting to see it for quite some time. And this fits kind of in that pop culture theme a little bit for the type of movie it is. And then also the just endless amount of cameos I felt that this movie offered as well. So a lot to dive into. And again, just to kind of skip ahead, excited we got to watch it as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun episode, and we are going to talk full spoilers. The movie's been out for about a year, so if you have not watched Bullet Train and you don't want any spoilers, you have been warned. But Eric, before we jump into this, let people know what Late to the Party is all about, and yeah, let's break this one down.
Yeah, so this series was inspired by our desire to catch up on some of the biggest films, shows, and other media and pop culture that we missed over the years. So Late to the Party, we're going to be taking a trip down memory lane into Bullet Train, which came out, as you mentioned, about a year ago, and everybody I felt like was talking just absolute praises of this film and went right over our heads. So we're gonna just rewind a little bit, go back in time and talk about this film. And if you haven't seen it, you've been warned, check it out and then come back to the episode.
Yeah, so to give you guys a short synopsis for Bullet Train, five assassins board a swiftly moving bullet train, find out that their missions have something in common. This is directed by David Leitch, and it stars Brad Pitt, Joey King, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Brian Tyree Henry, a whole slew of people here, Eric, and I haven't even gotten into the cameos. Hiroyuki Sanada also deserves a shout out. Very, very good. Andrew Koji. Excellent, excellent performances in this movie. And I didn't know this until after I watched the film. Eric did a little bit of research that this is actually based off of a novel by Kotaro Isaka named Maria Beetle, and a very similar concept as far as what the movie and the between the movie and the book. Not sure if you knew that, Eric, but it has me kind of interested, as I have entered this age now where if I like an anime, I've started purchasing the manga for it. And this kind of piqued my interest, like maybe I'd want to check this out. I did the same thing with Nimona. I ended up buying the book for Nimona after seeing the movie. But I thought it was pretty cool because there are quite a few anime-esque action set pieces in this movie. So it did not surprise me that this was from a Japanese author.
Yeah, and in traditional just kind of entertainment sense, there's also that kind of lingering mystery throughout the movie. So it's not just giving you everything all at once or just kind of regurgitating stuff. It's definitely taking its time to get through everything, which is really nice. So I'm right there with you. I think a book makes sense. I'm not surprised to hear it was a book. And yeah, let me know how that goes, because I'd be interested what they didn't do in the film that's in the books.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot to break down here with this film. And, you know, I've always been a big fan of Brad Pitt. I've always been more in the Brad Pitt camp than Tom Cruise. I think you might like Tom Cruise a little bit more, certainly more than I do. But I've always been a big fan of him. I mean, you and I are big fans of Troy, right? We absolutely love that movie. So
God, we're the biggest Troy fans.
We really are. It's so good. God, can we watch Troy? Just not even for later.
Yeah, let's just watch Troy. Let's do it tomorrow.
Let's just watch that. God, it's so good. But anyway, Brad Pitt has always been fantastic, of course, and he has great comedic chops. And I'll just start there, Eric. This movie's really fucking funny. I did not expect it to be this hilarious, although I guess I should have known because Brian Tyree Henry is in it. Aaron Taylor Johnson has proven to have really good comedic timing, but it's a really funny movie, and that kind of took me by surprise.
No, 100%. And the latter two, the twins, absolutely hilarious.
The twins, they're the best. They're so good.
They're so good. Everything with Thomas the Tank Engine was fucking gold. I loved it so much, and I really wish that there was a possibility for those two characters to have a spinoff in some way. Obviously not going to happen, but again, I like their characters. I like their banter. They were standouts, as well as Brad Pitt. He's hilarious as well. Shouldn't be surprising. I felt like he doesn't get to do a lot of these films, really. So I really like this side of it because Brad Pitt has always shown he can be pretty funny.
Yeah, we got paid $20 million to do it. So, you know, that'll entice him, probably. I think, to come in. So, yeah, really, really great. Of course, you mentioned the twins. Also, the father and son, I thought were really, really solid as well. I do want to give a shout out to Joey King, who played Prince. And I could not pinpoint where I had seen her before. So I looked it up while I was watching the film. And she is in the terrible Kissing Booth movies for Netflix. I don't know if you've ever... I've had the displeasure of seeing one Kissing Booth
Learning
movie.
Learning a lot about you today.
Courtesy of our friends Sam and Kire. Shout out to them. One of the worst movies I've ever seen. And I was like, holy shit, for her to go from one of those terrible films to going into this and giving a very, very solid performance. Really, really enjoyed it. Batshit insane, which was so... That's a little concerning, but... Really, really good character. And again, just kind of weaving all these people together and what they're, you know, what is going on and how they all ended up here was really interesting. I don't think any of the reveals were like, whoa, like mind blowing. Nothing like that. It wasn't that crazy, but I enjoyed the ride. No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. Joy King was great. I definitely feel like I've seen her in a couple of other things. So calling her the Kissing Booth girl, I think, is a little disrespectful.
It was like one of the first things she did. She's also in a very good Hulu series, mini series as well, but The Kissing Booth is where I first saw her, and that's why I was like, oh, good for you.
Yeah, and again, this movie has a lot to offer. It is a lot of fun. It is a thrill ride, you know, of you know, no pun intended there, on the bullet train. And it's a really fun ride to be able to go on with, not only from all these different characters' point of views, but it's a very simple plot. You're really knowing what you're getting into. A job has to be done. They have to get a briefcase. That's essentially the mystery that's kind of all behind it, is what's going on around this briefcase, and what are all these characters? How do they tie back together? So I thought all of that was perfectly fine. The comedy was gold. The action was cool. You know, it definitely kept me intrigued throughout the film. Definitely a lot of, you know, a little bit of unexpected gore. I didn't, you know, once the blood started splattering, it was there.
Pretty brutal.
Pretty brutal.
It was very, very Kingsman-esque.
Like, yeah. Yeah. That actually kind of fits. And this movie, I think the thing I'll remember the most about it, which is kind of a shame that I'm saying that, but it is kind of true. Like, the cameos I'm going to remember the most out of this movie, because they happened so infrequently yet so often. Somehow they did both.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you consider... I wouldn't consider Bad Bunny a cameo because he's in the trailer, so I don't think that one counts, but he's still very good in it. I love to see that. It's funny to see him recently in so many like physical roles. He did this, and of course he's done the wrestling stuff. He's just awesome. Like, Bad Bunny needs to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show next year. I hope he locks that.
Listen,
locks that
and in. The music's good. Listen, I've been listening he's to Bad awesome. Bunny recently, so he's.
I don't know what he's saying, but it makes me want to learn Spanish, and it's fantastic. So, but yeah, he's great. Which one was your favorite, Eric? I think mine is probably Zazie Beetz as the what was her character, the Hornet. Mm-hmm. I think that was probably my favorite one. The what's his name? What's the guy from Magic Mike? Channing Tatum was one of those clips that was spoiled for me on Instagram. I was like, damn, I wish I could have seen that when it happening in real time. So that's probably why I took a little bit away from it. But Zazie Beetz was my favorite. I definitely thought Channing Tatum was the white devil or the white. I definitely thought it was him at one point, but it was not.
Yeah, that would have been funny. Yeah, no, definitely Channing Tatum's up there. You know, Sandra Bullock, I love that. Love that cameo for sure. That I would probably say that they're kind of neck and neck. Michael Shannon, though, as the White Death.
Mm-hmm.
Did not see that coming. Ryan yep. Reynolds, quick appearance. That was so yeah. random. But, you know, again, the cameos definitely were a nice piece of it. And it's the thing I'm going to remember the most about this film, in addition to it being very funny. Those are the two things I think the most that stood with me after this. And it's a fun time. It is all right. It is really good. We'll say really good. Doesn't really go into great territory or masterpiece. It's just a really good, fun film. I could absolutely see someone going to the theaters and loving this movie. And a lot of people did.
Yeah, and we'll get to our grades here as far as our Letterboxd scores, and I'll tell you guys where Rotten Tomatoes landed on it. Because, yeah, that's one thing you mentioned as far as theaters, Eric. I wish we had seen this in theaters. I'll chalk this up as an L for us. I think it would be a really, really fun theater experience. And, you know, who knows? Movies are getting re-released all the time now. This is, I think, becoming a little bit of a cult classic. Because as far as the Rotten Tomato reviews, they don't really reflect, I think, the audience scores. So who knows? And there also supposedly is a sequel in the mix, so which doesn't surprise me. But yeah, I found this out too, that Sandra Bullock agreed to appear in this movie if Brad Pitt did a cameo for her in The Lost City, which is the Netflix film. Spoilers. Sorry, guys. Also spoiling another
movie,
film, which I was never
going to watch. A movie I've seen a little bit honestly. Of. I haven't watched the whole thing. But yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I think he might have just been playing the same character.
There you go. Or maybe the character that dies in Deadpool 2. So maybe.
Honestly, I think that all three of those might be the same character.
All the same guy. Just the same guy. I found this interesting as well. The director, David Leitch, had been Brad Pitt's stunt double in Troy, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and I think World War Z. So they're pretty familiar with each other, which I thought is that's a hell of a career
for a guy.
Yeah, so pretty cool. But I did see that Brad Pitt did quite a few stunts himself. I think Aaron Taylor Johnson actually ended up having to go to the hospital due to one stunt. So he was also getting very physical in this movie. But yeah, really, really good. I mean, a lot of just one crazy thing happening after another, and then you just add the snake into the mix with like just escaping because of Brad Pitt's character. Again, like you said, this was a really, really fun time, and I wish we had gone with some friends to go see it in the movies. But it was I'm gonna chalk this up as a miss on our end for not going to see it earlier and taking the opportunity. Maybe I guess we got to go see Gran Turismo. We might miss out on something.
Maybe. Or we could just watch this director's films because apparently we like them. John Wick, the first John Wick, Deadpool 2, Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw, which we liked.
Okay, well, I should have known that.
I'm just saying, these are a lot of movies now. Bullet Train, this is a lot of his filmography. We never watched Atomic Blonde, but I interested.
I saw Atomic Blonde. It was good. It's good.
Yeah, so I was I was interested from the trailer. I remember that much. So again, I mean, Phil, that's literally almost his full filmography here. So I think we're big fans of this director.
Yeah, I guess we just really like David Leitch and we didn't know it.
We didn't know it. Our favorite director of the year, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, Atomic Blonde is a really cool one shot. So you'd like Atomic Blonde for sure. Because you know what all those movies have in common? They're all a fucking blast. They're all really, really fun. So again, this one, for some reason, somehow just went over our heads. So, yeah, I think we got to chalk this one up in the L column, Eric.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, I think we can accept that. This movie is 2 hours and 7 minutes. Does it need to be that long? Is a great question. So I will say, on the opposite side of things, you know, as we're speaking freely on the movie does kind of drag a little bit at points, but not often. Like, it's not long periods. We're talking about like 3 minutes here, 3 minutes there, where I'm like, okay, we could probably cut past all this, all the formalities, all the info. It definitely gave me also less flashy original Suicide Squad vibes with like the visuals. Luckily, they didn't do that too much. I was worried that it was going to get very campy, but they didn't go too into that, and I was happy with that.
I mean, when Brad Pitt is flying through the train, that's literally a Deadpool scene. I was like, wait a minute.
Probably the worst shot of the movie. That whole sequence was pretty awful, CGI-wise. So, again, the bullet train itself, outside, not great. Not great. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of what's done inside the train is really where the magic happens.
Right. So, pretty cool. Again, really, really fun movie. As far as Rotten Tomatoes goes, a little rough on the tomato meter, 54%. So, critics not the biggest fans of this. And a 76% audience score, which I thought that was going to be a lot higher, Eric. But
yeah,
this movie is exactly a reason why I wish there were 0.25s on Letterboxd, because I couldn't give it a 4, but I think it's better than a 3.5. So I would have given it a 3.75. So I had to settle on a 3.5 for Bullet Train, which is its average score on Letterboxd. So I'm curious to see if you landed exactly there, if you went a little bit lower. Or even higher.
Us getting into Letterboxd, I need to get better about doing it right then and there. Otherwise, I forget. And I did forget that I need to rank it on Letterboxd. I would say a 3.5 is fair. Maybe I could go to a 3.75. I feel like I'd probably need a second viewing for that. I will say this movie should be seen with friends. That would definitely make this probably higher for that experience. But yeah, no, I think a 3.5 is completely fair, and I think that's a good score. I don't know that this is a 4. Again, 3.5 to me is really good, and that's kind of what I mentioned at the top of the episode. This movie's really good. Great, I think, would be in the 4s. We're talking about amazing being a 4.5 and a masterpiece being a 5. So I made that all up just now, so I'm sure I'll have to take that back, but it sounded good coming out, so I'm gonna stick with it.
No, it sounds good. We're just gonna crop it up forever, and that's gonna be.
And that'll just be my ranking score. And then anything forever. Below a 3 is just shit.
Just awful. So,
okay.
Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But Bullet Train is very good, unlike another movie. But I think, like you said, Eric, watching this with friends would be a really good time. I would certainly watch it again with people who haven't seen it before. And I'm glad I did. And, you know, if they come out with a sequel, I would be very excited to see these characters return. Ladybug, Lemon, and unfortunately not Tangerine. Honestly, you could do a Lemon and Tangerine Aaron Taylor Johnson Brian Tyree Henry spinoff. I would watch the shit out of that thing, man. They had such amazing chemistry. I would absolutely watch that. So yeah, as you can see, we both very much enjoyed the movie. Definitely worth your time. And you know, Eric, whenever we go into a late to the party and we enjoy ourselves, it is a win.
It is. I'm going to actually do this. This was not something I planned. Phil, if you were to pick a Thomas and Friend character, or Thomas the Tank Engine character, to describe yourself, who would that be?
Oh, God. I think...
I'm very curious.
I think I might be a Percy. Give me a second. I'm trying to remember which one Percy is. Yeah. Percy is the smallest member of the main group of engines. He is a happy little chap who is normally quite happy puffing around the yard and is always keen to oblige, fact of which other engines are determined to take advantage of. So maybe a Percy but I would have to do a little bit more research on the Thomas the Tank Engine characters. But Percy is the one that came to mind first. It's kind of a bummer that I can't really remember all of them, because I was heavy into Thomas the Tank Engine when I was a kid, but I've sadly forgotten some of them. What do you think you are? Or who do you think you are?
I don't know. I also have to do it. That's why I was like, when I did this like last second, I was like, I don't even think I really watched Thomas the Tank Engine like that. I did. But no, just kind of pulling up the image here. I don't think I'm a diesel. I don't know. What is Edward? What Edward sounds like something I would be. Thomas the Tank Engine? Let's see.
Edward. Oh, there's an Asian one now.
That's perfect.
Okay, hold on. There's a couple Asian ones. Edward, I'm honestly not 100%.
Oh, I got it.
I remember Edward. Okay.
Yeah. He's reliable, helpful, kind, friendly, very wise.
Nah.
Pretty good.
Let's see. You might be a Henry. He was officially built as a dysfunctional prototype engine who needed special Welsh coal to operate properly.
Oh, my God.
Following his accident, Henry underwent extensive rebuild.
Hold on. He has a thoroughbred look, and like all thoroughbreds, tends to be somewhat highly strung and prone to illness. I don't want to be Henry. I don't want to be Henry.
Yeah, I think either Henry or maybe a Gordon. I think Gordon was kind of like the wild card one, but I'm not 100% sure. Again, this might have to be its own episode, Eric. Along with this and the soup bracket, we have a lot to do.
Honestly, we should probably get that started. Yeah, no, that's wow. We really went off the rails there.
I feel like it's still relatable because it still trains. So I think we're fine.
Yeah, no, we're fine. But that's definitely, I really lied. That's what I'm going to remember the most is the Thomas the Tank Engine references. Stickers. Yeah, good.
Great.
So good.
Great stuff. But yeah. Well, guys, again, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Late to the Party. If you want to see what other films we were way, way late on as far as checking out, make sure you check out the show notes, the Linktree link in the show notes. You'll find all of the rest of our episodes, as well as our social media pages. If you find yourself listening on either Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening, give us a thumbs up, 5 stars, whatever the highest praise you can give us on that podcasting app. We would really appreciate it. And if you want to support the show a little bit extra, such as our patron Briar, Eric will let you know how to do that.
Yeah, you can join our Patreon where you can get exclusive and bonus content, such as video versions of select episodes, early access, and additional perks. You can also go directly to our Buzzsprout website and support us there. But we truly appreciate just the likes, the comments, the shares, all of the engagement. You guys have been amazing, and we can't wait for some exciting changes that are going to be coming to the podcast very soon. With that being said, my name is Mr. Eric Almighty. That is my co-host, Phil the Filipino. And please don't forget, we release new episodes every Monday and Wednesday here on the podcast with bonus content on platforms like TikTok. And all you got to do is wait for it.
So, I heard you're looking for a go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming?
Wait for it.
Anime?
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino?
Yeah,
they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.